You could open your Bibles to the Gospel of John as we're in our second week now going through this Gospel. Really looking forward to it. So we started last week, our first study, we looked at the first three verses of John's prologue, the prologue being sort of the preview. I like to think of it almost like a movie trailer for what the rest of the book is about. And so today we are going to look at the next couple of verses from verses 4 through 13. But if I had to sum up what the Gospel of John is about with just one word, I think it would be this: Jesus. And if I had to sum up what the Gospel of John is about in three words, I think I'd say, believe in Jesus. Because John says that he wrote this gospel so that we would believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. So that's the purpose of this book, and that's what we're going to dive into today. So we saw last week that Jesus was introduced to us as the Word, that is the eternal Word, the Logos. And let me read John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, just for the sake of context. And it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So this morning, as we move into verses 4 through 13, Jesus is going to be spoken about with two other key words: that Jesus is life and Jesus is light. Life and light. These are some of John's favorite words. And as I said last week, John didn't use a huge vocabulary. He actually chose from a word bank of about 600 words. And in the time that I have with you this morning, I want to simply speak to you about how in Jesus you can find both life and light, and you can have that by believing and receiving what Jesus offers. And so let's pick it up where we left off last week in verse 4, where it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning. We ask that your word would illuminate our hearts and minds to believe in you, Jesus, that you are the Son of God, the Christ, the one who came from heaven to earth to die on a cross for our sins. And you were buried, but Jesus, you rose from the dead 3 days later, and because of that, we can have eternal life in you. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that for those who already believe this message, that we would continue to believe, but those who have not yet believed, that today would be the day of salvation, that you would open eyes to see the light of Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen, amen. So I want you to notice something, is that if you look in your Bibles, the name Jesus is not mentioned until the end of the prologue at verse 17. However, Jesus has clearly been spoken about throughout this gospel introduction, but what John does is he starts by drawing us into the wonder and the mystery of this person that he calls the Word, and now he will call this person the life and the light. John says, "In him was life," and that's a bold statement because what John's not saying merely, he's not only saying that Jesus was a living being, even though that is true. We believe that Jesus is God, and yet he added humanity to his deity. The Word became flesh, as we'll see next week. But he's saying that Jesus was and is the source of all living beings, that because Jesus is God, he is the one who created life, and we would not have life without him. And so in him was life. We see in verse 3 that all things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. And so that would include every living thing that is in this room right now. If you are breathing air, if you are listening to these words, if you're seeing, you know, the things on the screen behind me, you are a living being, and you were created by Jesus. Now, it's impossible to really know the exact number of every living thing that is on the earth today. But I did a little bit of research, and here's what I found. There are 8.1 billion human beings alive today. There are 70 billion livestock animals. So this would be like cows, pigs, chickens, you know, the kind of animals you would eat, you know, unless you're a vegetarian. But that just means more for me. So there are an estimated 3 trillion trees. I love this one. There are 10 quintillion insects. That's one with 19 zeros after that. And it's 1/10 of those are spiders. Okay. If you were to take all the spiders in the world and measure them in their weight, there would be 29 million metric tons of spiders. So, yeah. So life is all around us, right? The world is teeming with life. It's actually been said that you are never more than a few feet away from a spider. So without you knowing it, might be right there. But you know, do we ever stop to think about this? Do we ever stop to think, where does all this life come from? Because life could not have come from nothing. Life cannot exist without a source, and Jesus is the source of life because he is God. Jesus is the uncreated being that created everything that ever has been and everything that ever will be. And so the creator of life is boldly being declared to us here in the opening of this gospel. John says, in him was life. And yet we've only really talked so far about physical life. But when John says that in him was life, I believe John was also referring to spiritual life. You see, Jesus is the source of physical life, yes, but he's also the source of spiritual life. You know, when you were born, you received physical life. Every single one of us has physical life. But how does one have spiritual life? Well, the Bible says that you must be born again. And so both kinds of life come from Jesus, who is the source of all life. John says in verse 4 that the life was the light of men. So as we think about light, you know, light has physical properties. There's light in this room right now. By the way, if you were wondering why the lights went on in the middle of worship, apparently we like to keep some lights on and not all the lights were on, and so the lights got flipped and you were like, what? You know, when light shines, we notice, right? And so even just the screen that is behind me, that screen is measured in lumens, the amount of light that shines through the projector, and the more light that shines, the more visibility there will be. But if we ever stop to think about light, it brings up a whole lot of questions. You know, we take for granted the sun and the moon. We take for granted just the flip of a switch. Where does this light come from? You know, I was looking into light and all this stuff, and I guess someone who studies light is called a optical physicist. I'm not an optical physicist, and so I don't express to know everything about light, but I think that there's some pretty simple things to gather here. Because light, in the same way that it has physical properties, it also is a good spiritual analogy. It has spiritual principles. For instance, light reveals. Light exposes. Light guides. And so does Jesus. Jesus reveals. Jesus exposes. Jesus guides. And this isn't just a New Testament idea. We even see this in Psalm 36:9, where it says, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." So this is a powerfully profound statement that John is saying, that in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, if Jesus is both life and light, and not merely in the physical sense, but also more so you could say in the spiritual sense, then we have to talk about what the alternatives to that would be. If Jesus is life and light, then what do you have if you do not have Jesus? Death and darkness. That wasn't too hard to figure out now, was it? Right? Because we were all born with an innate sense that life is better than death, that light is better than darkness. You know, you don't have to teach a child to fear the dark. My kids don't like taking the trash out to the street at nighttime because they're afraid of the spiders that hang out in the handles. You know what I'm talking about, right? Because you're still afraid of that. Now, verse 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." If Jesus has light and life in him, then to be without Jesus is to be in what? Death and darkness. And so let me ask you, what happens when you turn on light in a dark room? You can answer. What happens?
The spiders run.
Yes. So what happens? Think about what happens when you turn a light in a dark room. Well, I like that all the you're not optical physicists, I can tell. But the darkness goes away. Have you ever been in such a dark place, such a dark room, and you just light a candle and how much that little candle just illuminates the whole place? It's pretty spectacular. So physically speaking, light will always overcome darkness. Spiritually speaking, light will always overcome darkness. No one turns on darkness and then the light has to leave. But if you turn on a light, darkness must leave. Light always overpowers darkness. And so Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness. In Jesus, the darkness must go. And darkness in the Bible is always associated with sin, death, and the devil. Before we believe in Jesus, who John says is the light of mankind, the Bible says that all of mankind walked in darkness. And not just that we walked in darkness, but that we were darkness. That by our nature, we were in the darkness, and the darkness was in us. And so sin separated us from God. Death was our destiny. The devil was our master, but then light came into the world and the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome the light. And so in Jesus, sin, death, and darkness must go. And that word overcome can also be translated as comprehends. The darkness will never have victory over the light. The darkness will never have understanding over the light. Darkness cannot overcome, it cannot comprehend the light of God. And this world is full of darkness, and I mean that spiritually. And you know this to be true. You know that there is darkness all around us. You know that there's even darkness within you. You've still got some creepy, crawly spider places up in your heart, right? You know what I'm talking about. And I could spend, you know, we've been going now for what, 10, 15 minutes? I could have spent the whole first part of my sermon talking about how dark this world is and how much evil there is and how much darkness there is all around us in this world. And yet, why don't we just talk about the light? Because when you talk about the light and you shine the light, it overcomes the darkness. The darkness has no victory. It has no comprehension over the light. In fact, when the enemy, the devil, tried to extinguish the light of God in Jesus Christ, he was behind Jesus being crucified, but he didn't realize that the Son of Glory, Jesus Christ, being crucified would actually be his demise. And so here's the thing. We don't believe in a dualism where it's light and it's darkness. And we're all wondering in this great clash, this great war, who's going to win? Is the light going to win over the darkness, or is the darkness going to win over the light? We know the answer. The light overpowers the darkness. The darkness has no comprehension over the light. And so this world is full of darkness. Yes, I know. You know, the sun sets and then men and women do their evil deeds. We live in a day when evil deeds are done in broad daylight. We live in a day which is not a new day. This has been prophesied all throughout the scriptures. Isaiah talks about this, where people call darkness light and they call light darkness. There is so much sin. There is death. There is demonic destruction in this world. We know it. But take heart. Jesus has overcome the world, and in him is life, and the light is already shining. And so I could go into greater depth and detail about all this, but here's the thing. We're just getting a preview of what the rest of the Gospel of John is going to speak of with Jesus coming into this world and bringing his life and light. But do you guys like previews? Let me give you a sneak peek, a little preview of what we're going to get in the Gospel of John regarding Jesus being the light. So you can see the words on the screen, or if you've got fast fingers and you want to flip to these pages, we've got 1 John chapter 3, not 1 John, John chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. It says, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out with God." And then John chapter 8, verse 12, again Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John chapter 9, verse 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." John chapter 12, verse 35 to 36. So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." And then John chapter 12, verse 46 says, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." So you see, Jesus is the light of the world. And if you want life and light in you, believe in Jesus. I like what 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, 12 says. It sort of summarizes this in probably the most simple way that I can think. It says, "And this is the testimony." This is what God's trying to tell you through all of this. That God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's pretty clear, isn't it? And there's more to be seen about Jesus being light and life as we study this book. And I can't wait to get into it. But this morning is just a preview of what's to come in the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so let's continue into verse 6, where John is now going to shift gears a little bit here, where he'll now introduce another person into the story. A man who was not the Word, he was not the life or the light, but this man pointed to Jesus for that. Check out verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Now, is John talking about himself here? No, he's speaking about another John. The John that's being spoken about here in verse 6 is not the writer of the Gospel of John. That would be John the Apostle. He was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. He had a brother named James. He was the son of a Galilean fisherman named Zebedee. But the John that's being spoken about in verse 6 is John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus. His mother, Elizabeth, was a relative of Mary. And he prepared the way for Christ to come. And John got his name, the Baptizer, because he had this ministry where he was preaching a message of repentance in order to prepare the way for Christ to come. And so many people were responding to that message that they were coming to meet him out at the Jordan River, and they were being baptized in water. Jesus himself would actually go to John to be baptized. And we'll talk more about John in the coming weeks, but that hopefully clears up for you which John is being spoken of. This is John the Baptist, who was a man sent from God. Now verses 7 through 8 says, "He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light." So John was a man sent from God. But there were actually many who believed that John was the Christ. They saw his success in ministry. They saw how many people were coming out to him and how many people were responding to the message that they thought this must be the Christ. But John the Apostle was sure to clear up right away, there is one Christ and his name is Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. But John the Baptizer, John the Baptist, would always humbly bear witness to the fact that he was not the Christ. He told people that his job was only to prepare for the true Christ to come. And once Christ came, once Jesus came on the scene, John's job was to get out of the way and to point people to Jesus. You know, John the Baptist is an example of the kind of ministry that we should all want to have. It's the kind of ministry that I would want to have, that our lives would decrease so that the life of Jesus would increase. You know, it's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus, because in him is life, in him is light, and we can only find that in Jesus. And so our job is to bear witness to the light so that more people might believe through Jesus. And that's what John did. John was not the light. His role was to tell people about the light. And that's very much what I'm trying to do here this morning with God's word open, which is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. My goal in teaching the Bible is simply to point you to Jesus, because in him is life and light. Because, you know, I know that Jesus is real. I know that in Jesus there is eternal life. Why? Because I have received his eternal life. The sin that was in my life, the death that was in my life, has been driven out by the light and the life of Jesus, and I know it. I've experienced. I've been what the Bible calls born again. I have received the spiritual life that Jesus freely offers to those who put their faith in him. I've believed in Jesus as my God and Savior, and therefore I have this life in me. And so my job, though, and what I'm seeking to do, is what John the Baptist was doing, which was to say, you can also have this. You can also find this in Jesus. And so this is just the preview, right? Verses 9 through 11 says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. The true light here, of course, is Jesus. It's not John, it's not you, it's not me, it's not any other person. Jesus is the true light. And you know how I said that John likes to use his favorite words? Light and life are definitely some of his favorites, but another favorite word of his is truth. And what John will often do is he'll string together these few simple words to talk about Jesus. You know, I came up to this point in my message in preparing, and I was thinking, looking over my notes, man, I really do say life and light a lot in this message. Like, maybe I should find some other words, you know, or maybe I should take out some. And then I realized, no, that's what we're talking about. People need to know that life is in Jesus, and light is in Jesus, and in Jesus there's true light and true life, and it's only found in him. And therefore, if Jesus is true life, then there's false life. That's dark. If Jesus is true life, there's false life, that's death, right? And if Jesus is true light, then there's false light. That's darkness. And for death and darkness to leave our lives, we need to talk about the life and the light of Jesus. That's the only way that the death and the darkness can go from our lives. Listen, everyone in this room, everyone in this world is susceptible to the lies of darkness and death. And do not be deceived, because the devil loves to masquerade himself in light. And all that glitters is not gold. Not everything that is bright and shiny is true light. There is actually a lot in this world that is false, that is lies, that is deceptions. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, these things are not of God. They're of the world. And the world is perishing apart from the life and the light of Jesus Christ. But the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into this world. And what a statement that is. The creator of the universe, the one who gave you and I the ability to comprehend these words and these concepts, he decided to do something so radical. The true light came into this world. The creator entered his creation. John says very clearly here, the Creator entered his creation when he says light entered the world. He was in the world that was made through him. What a statement. And just ponder this with me for a moment here. The one who made male and female and the ability to carry human life in the womb, Jesus entered the womb of a woman, the very womb that he designed and created. Jesus was born to a virgin. Her name was Mary. And Jesus is the Son of God because though he was born to a woman, he was not born to a human father because God is his father. And so Jesus is the incarnate Son of God. God took on human flesh and he actually entered into the womb of a woman, the very womb that he created. And then Jesus was born into a manger in Bethlehem. He was born among the livestock animals that he created. And then as a young boy, as Jesus was growing up in wisdom and stature, having both favor with God and man, Jesus went to Jerusalem and he schooled the priests and the religious teachers. He used the word of God and they were astounded at his wisdom. Why? Because he is the one who breathed out the scriptures. But Jesus lived in relative obscurity, living in a village of Nazareth for most of his life. He was working in a workshop with his adoptive father, Joseph. The one who created the universe was building tables and chairs in a village. And then Jesus was baptized by his cousin John in the Jordan River. And that was the beginning of his public ministry. The same river that he stood up for Joshua and for the people of Israel to cross over into the promised land, the Son of David, the Word made flesh, the wisdom of God, the true Joshua, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. In large measure, the people in Jesus' day did not accept Jesus for who he truly is. The light came into the darkness. But people remained blind and ignorant and lost. The world did not know him who made the world, even though he was right there. I mean, just think about it. The true light that gives light to the world, Jesus was walking on this earth in broad daylight for people to see, and so many people missed him. They did not see Jesus as the true Son of God, and there was plenty of light and plenty of life bearing witness to who Jesus is, and yet many refused him. And verse 11 is even more potent of a statement when you think about it. Did you see it? Look at verse 11. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. It's the Jewish people that are the people that John is referring to here, because while God is the creator of all life, every tribe, every nation, every tongue comes from God. He is the light of the Gentiles. He is the giver of life to all who believe in him, to the Jews first and also to the Gentiles. But the Bible teaches that God made a special covenant with the Jewish people, his people Israel. And I really want you to listen to this right now. I really want you to lock in for a moment here. This is important. I think it's important in the times that we're living in the darkness that is in this world. We need to understand this. When Jesus became a human being, when God added humanity to his deity, Jesus became a Jewish man. Jesus was born to a Jewish mother. Jesus was, and he is, and he always will be Jewish. Do you realize that? You know, Jesus is not necessarily Christian. Because Christian's not a race or an ethnicity. It's not a nationality. But Jewish is. And Jesus was born as a Jewish man. That's his race. That's his ethnicity. That was his nationality. Jesus was Jewish. And because when Jesus, a Jewish Savior, died and rose again, Jesus rose again Jewish. And Jesus ascended to heaven as being Jewish. And Jesus is in heaven right now as a Jewish man because he still retains the body that was given to him in the incarnation. So Jesus, a Jewish man, came to his own people, the Jews, and his own people did not receive him. And we see in the Gospel of John that many Jewish people rejected Jesus as their promised Messiah, even though they have the promises of the scriptures and all those prophecies that speak of the coming Christ, they missed him. And still to this day, Jews, when they read the Old Testament with prophecies like Isaiah chapter 53, they will say, that's not talking about Jesus. And they're blinded by darkness. Paul speaks about this throughout 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4 and how the Jewish people will read the Bible and totally miss that it's all pointing to Christ, Jesus, their Messiah. I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 through 6, where it says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world, who's Satan, the devil, he has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake," similar to John's ministry. Listen to this, verse 6, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." What Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians is what happens when the light of Jesus shines upon the mind of a person who has been blinded in darkness, and how that message of the gospel shines upon us so that we believe in Jesus Christ and the blindness goes away, the veil is removed. This is the experience of salvation, and this is a work that God must do in shining his light upon you so that you can receive eternal life. This is salvation. Has this happened to you? I know that it's happened for many of you in this place, that Jesus has revealed his life and his light to you. But the question is, if you're here today and you're hearing this for the first time, or all of this is now beginning to click for you, the lights are turning on, have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, today you can. If that has not happened for you today, it can happen here today. Don't miss it. I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment, but stay with me for a second. Two more verses to look at today, and then I'm going to give a very simple, clear invitation for those who want to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior today, and that you want to receive life and light from Jesus. Verse 12 through 13 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." That word "but" is one of the best words in the Bible because it holds out hope to the world. It says, even though this is what we once were, we have a new opportunity in Christ to receive something entirely different. Even though there were those who refused to receive the light and the light of Jesus, even though Jesus came to his own people and his own people didn't receive him, there are still those who see clearly that Jesus is true life and true light. And those people receive him because they receive him by believing in him. And so here it is. To believe in Jesus is to receive Jesus. To believe that life is found in his name. To believe that he is the light of the world and that we will not walk in darkness. To see the light means that the light drives out the darkness that is in your life. The things that have been keeping you away from God. The sin is removed. Death is removed. I'll be doing a memorial service in this room later this afternoon. Because that man believed in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he's in heaven. Death has been removed. Death has lost its sting. Carrie George, who we've been praying for, Her husband went to be with Jesus yesterday and is face to face with him. And this is the hope we have, that in Jesus, death is removed, death is gone. The light shines in the darkness. They're seeing true light right now. In Jesus, the devil is cast out. He has no power, he has no victory. All that he has are his lies and his deception. But when you believe in Jesus, you are given the right to become children of God. You cannot earn this right must be given. And the Bible refers to believers in Jesus as children of God, as children of the light. I told you earlier that every single one of us in this place were born physically. And you received physical life. If you're breathing air right now, if you're still listening to me, you have physical life. But here's the thing, only Jesus offers spiritual life. And I don't know if everyone in this room has spiritual life, because only those who have believed in Jesus as the Son of God, who died on a cross for your sin and was buried and rose from the dead, unless you've believed that gospel message in faith and received the grace of God and the right to become a child of God, I don't know that every person in this room has spiritual life. But I'm bearing witness to it, that you can have that life in you today. And how can you have that life in you today? Let me try to make it as simple as possible. If you want life and light in Jesus Christ, then believe in Jesus and receive life and light from him. This is what it comes down to. If you want light and life, then believe and receive. That's what it is, because salvation can only come to you by believing and receiving. What John does here is he tells us what being born again is not, what being saved is not. And sometimes a good way to understand what something is by knowing what it's not. It is not being born of blood. No one is born a Christian. If you were born into a Christian family, you're born into a certain nation, you don't automatically become a Christian. You must believe and receive to become a Christian. You must yourself believe. You must yourself receive. It can't be your parents' faith. It can't be your spouse's faith. It has to be your faith. And nor is it the will of the flesh. As much as you would want to be born again, you can't do anything to earn that, to achieve that. You can't come to a place where you've done enough in your life to say, finally, I've gotten to the place where I've made myself born again. You can't do that. That's religion. And nor is it the will of man. I could do my very best to give you a sermon that I hope is clear, that I hope is direct, that I hope is centered upon the gospel. I can tell you the simplest, clearest way that I know how, that God loves you, that he sent his son to die on a cross for you, that the sin and the darkness and the death that is in your life can leave in a moment if you would believe in Jesus. And I could really, really want you to receive that message and believe it with faith. I can't make you do that. So how does this happen? Comes from God. It's God who must shine the light of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ so that you believe. And I believe that's happening right now for some. I believe that there are some here right now where you know that you have been walking in darkness and you know that it's time to walk in the light. I know that there are some of you in here right now and you fear death. And you don't need to fear death if you have faith in Christ and the hope of heaven. And if you're here today and you want this life, you want this light that I've been talking about, that Jesus promises to us, then you need to believe and receive. And as I end here this morning, I told you that this is really just a preview, like a movie trailer of what the rest of the Gospel of John will be about. And it came to me that based off of the time that I've had with you today, I hope there's been enough spoken for you to believe, because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And if you've heard enough for you to believe in Jesus, I pray that that's the case. But here's the thing. We all love to watch movies. And sometimes if we're gonna watch a movie, what will we do before we dive all in and we say, I'm gonna commit to this? We'll watch a movie trailer. And we'll see from that movie trailer if it's really something that is what we want. Something that will decide, yeah, I want the whole thing. And if today you've been hearing about the life and the light that is in Jesus, and it's just enough, it's not the whole movie, trust me, following Jesus is a whole lifetime. We've got a lot more to cover in the Gospel of John, but if it's just enough for you to say, yeah, I've heard enough, I've seen enough, there's been enough life and light spoken to me today that I wanna receive this, I wanna be all in, then that decision, that asking in faith for God to save you, that's what it's called, to be born again. God's Spirit will come rushing into your life and he'll remove that sin, he'll remove that death, he'll remove that darkness that is in your life as his life and light shines upon you. Amen? Amen. Amen.